My baby fever has become uncontrollable. I have dreams about babies all the time. I have to touch baby clothes in stores. I ponder the alternative of ecological nappies. On the streets, I smile at children I do not know. In every single long-term plan, I take into account our future children. Sometimes I awake at night and feel a huge longing which starts from my womb and radiates to all parts of my body. A physical, compelling, painful need to be pregnant. If somebody had earlier tried to describe such a feeling to me, I'd probably roll my eyes, encourage her to climb out of the swamp of the motherhood myth and get a life. We have agreed to try to have children a year or two. I count the days. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about something very, very interesting, and that is the evidence that there is such a thing as baby fever, that there is such a thing as people who have a very strong and seemingly genetic desire to have their own biological children. And this has all kinds of fascinating implications for the future of human evolution. Now, it used to be believed that there was no such thing as an instinctive desire to have children. We had an instinctive desire to have sex, that's fine, and we had an instinctive desire to look after children, to nurture children, but there was no instinctive desire to actually have children. The only way you could act on that instinctive desire would be to steal other people's children. And it was believed, based on research by Bronislaw Malinowski, that there were some groups that didn't understand the connection between having sex and pregnancy, and therefore it was impossible to have an instinctive desire to actually have your own children. Now, since then, furthermore, detailed research has indicated that there really aren't any human groups, and all human groups are self-conscious, of course, that don't understand the relationship between sex and pregnancy. They might understand it in some obscure mythological way, but they understand the connection based on observing what animals do or whatever, and observing over shorter periods of time and comparing it to what they themselves do. So they all understand the connection. It would follow from this that if people had a very strong genetic desire to have their own biological children, then that would be adaptive. And in certain circumstances where people could control their ability to get pregnant and control how many children they have, then that desire to have lots of your own children would be adaptive. Well, there is an absolutely fascinating paper which implies that that may well be the case. And that paper is called All That She Wants Is Another Baby, longing for children as a fertility incentive of growing importance, by Anna Rotkirch. Now, in the Journal of Evolutionary Psychology, published in 2007, Anna Rotkirch is a researcher at the professor at the Population Research Institute in Finland. And like a lot of Finns, as you know, I live in Finland and I know the Finnish mind very well, seems to be too Finnish and therefore too humble, too high in agreeableness, too high in altruism and empathy, we are humble Finns, to realise that she's done something absolutely brilliant. And I've come across this before. I'm going to have somebody on my channel a few weeks from now who is Finnish, who has done something absolutely brilliant, who doesn't seem to understand how brilliant it is, because he's Finnish, and therefore he seems to have, for evolutionary reasons that I look at in my book, The Silent Rape Epidemic, How the Finns Were Groomed to Love Their Abusers, has this natural sort of humility, which is, I suppose, an adaptation to a cold yet harsh ecology in which you have to get on with people and whatever, doesn't understand how important this is. So what the basically the paper does is it does interviews with 106 Finnish women about the concept of baby fever. A baby fever, and I read an example from you there, and that was from a woman that was born in 1976. Baby fever is the very, very strong, overwhelming desire to have children. It seems to divide into two parts, approximately. Those that have a very, very strong desire to be the mother of children, i.e., to have children, but perhaps it's not clear whether they have to be their own biological children. Perhaps it could be that they could be adopted or something like that, but they have to be their own children that are kind of theirs, as opposed to nephews and nieces or whatever people that they could invest in that are close to them or other people's kids. That's not good enough. They have to feel it's their own children. And then, separate from, or distinct from that, slightly nuanced from that, those that have an overwhelming desire to be pregnant. And that, of course, is very, very important because the being pregnant would imply that it is their own children. Now, in some of the narratives that Anna Brockchurch looks at, it's not clear whether they want their own biological children, or it could be good enough to just, adopt somebody else's children, but they are effectively the prime caregiver and the mother. But it seems to me that the implication is that it is their own biological children, and this is certainly implied where it is those that are stating that they have an overwhelming desire to be pregnant. So you have 106 stories of these women that have these incredibly potent desire to have children, and in many cases it is clear to have their own children. Now, these people seem to have a care-oriented sort of personality, perhaps. And there is research that was another Finnish researcher, actually, called Markus Jokela, that found that one of the predictors of having of fertility is agreeableness. And this is because, of course, people that are agreeable, are altruistic and empathetic, are high in the trait nurture, and therefore they desire to have their own children. And there is evidence that they are doing so, that this trait is being selected for. Similarly, there was a study by Michael Woodley of Manee and his colleagues, which found that the K strategy, i.e., this is basically a desire to nurture, in essence, K, R strategy, desire for sex, K strategy, the opposite, you invest in nurture, is being selected for in modern populations. This was in a study called Slow and Steady Wins the Race. But anyway, what you have with these women is a sudden physical longing, obsessive longing for children, for babies, and indeed for being pregnant. And this is known as baby fever. Now, what seems to set off this longing is age, being of a certain age, such as in their 20s or whatever, is falling in love with somebody else, is interestingly having an earlier pregnancy. So, for example, having a miscarriage, and then this sets off a very, very strong desire to have children, or even having an abortion. And this sets off having a very, very strong desire to have babies, and exposure to other people's babies, or the babies of friends, or whatever. And this seems to set off this overwhelming, obsessive desire to have your own children in these women. Now, there's been some other research on this which has found that across generations, this is becoming more heritable. This baby fever in general is becoming more heritable. It's becoming more genetic. So it didn't used to be genetic at all. It didn't used to be. It didn't. They didn't used to be a heritable component to it. And across time, the heritability of it appears to have gone up. And this makes a great deal of sense, that it would become very biologically important. And this is something which Anna Rockchurch looks at in the paper, because under normal circumstances, before the Industrial Revolution and before the development of reliable contraception, women didn't really have any control over their fertility. They would simply get pregnant. With the development, or families didn't, husbands and wives didn't. With the development of reliable contraception, this changes. Those who are essentially are strategists, those who are calibrated to invest most of their biological resources in sex, they are calibrated not to invest their biological resources in nurture. So they will, under normal evolutionary circumstances, end up getting people pregnant simply because they have lots of sex, or they end up getting pregnant because they have a desire to have sex, but they don't have any particular pronounced desire to have children. The children are a consequence of their desire to have sex. Those that are higher in nurture, they are less interested necessarily in investing energy in sex. Of course, they'll have sex, but they're more selective and more picky because they want to have the best possible father, the best possible situation, the best possible circumstances in order to optimally invest resources in the offspring and help them survive in a competitive, harsh and stable ecology. And so what would happen if you had reliable contraception is that the people who have a strong desire for sex and no desire for nurture would basically select themselves out of the gene pool, and the people that had this desire, this overwhelming desire to have their own children, this baby fever, would become selected for. And so it makes sense that across time, as contraception has become more widely available, more reliable, more socially acceptable, and so on, that the heritability of baby fever essentially would increase. And what would eventually, it would become extremely important. You would end up with a situation where there really were two kinds of people, essentially, that were having children. Those that were insufficiently intelligent to be able to use contraception, either because they were too impulsive to use it or because they weren't intelligent enough to use it correctly. As I've said before, you know, if you're on the pill, do you take it at the exact time every day like you're supposed to, or do you knock it back with a glass of red wine in the evening or something when you remember? So those people are going to have children, but then so are people who really, really want to have their own children. And those people are going to start disproportionately passing on their genes. And this is consistent with the evidence from Marcus Jokela's research that agreeableness is being selected for in terms of correlates with fertility, because those people are going to be high in a desire to nurture, and that presumably is going to correlate with baby fever and with a desire to attempt to become pregnant, a desire to have your own children. Now, exactly what is going on in setting off these intense bouts of baby fever is unclear. One suggestion is basically you have hormonal changes that prepare a woman for motherhood, and that these are a consequence of these hormonal changes, which could perhaps be set off by other women having children, by being pregnant previously, by falling in love, by a certain age where your body is kind of telling you that your body clock is ticking away, would be that you would prepare for motherhood, that you would engage in nesting sort of behaviour. And even, of course, there is the concept of a phantom pregnancy, where a woman so strongly desires to have children, to have her own babies, that she starts sort of displaying the symptoms of pregnancy in the concept of a phantom pregnancy, and this can be set off via these various exposures. Now, if these hormonal changes, which lead to a strong desire to have children, could be elevated in certain people due to certain environmental factors setting them off, then of course those people would be at an evolutionary advantage in general, because they would have a very strong desire to have their own children and they would set out to ensure that they had them. But they would be at a particular evolutionary advantage in a context in which people can control their fertility. Because in a context in which you can avoid having children if you don't particularly want to have your own children for some reason, because you're selfish or you want to invest your energy in sex or whatever it happens to be, then those that want to have children, those that have an inbuilt instinct to have their own children, will start to dominate the gene pool. And that is what is seemingly what is happening, that we are going to be in a situation where increasingly it is those people that will survive. How does this come about? Well, it comes about firstly through sexual selection. So these kinds of women are going to specifically select for the kind of men that want to have children. It's going to be an absolute deal breaker that those kinds of, that they will only, that perhaps there are men as well that are high in a desire for having their own children. That's not in the research, but perhaps there are. And only those men who have that instinct for fathering their own children will be sexually selected for by these women. And secondly, these women will have that overwhelming natural desire to have children themselves, which will ensure that that will be selected for. So on two levels, then, you will have selection for this very strong desire to have your own children, independent of anything else. I mean, religiousness predicts having children. There's all kinds of other, there's other factors, although perhaps that is part of religiousness. Perhaps those two things go together. Who knows? I mean, there is a strong desire among many religious people to have large families. And religiousness does tend to be associated with elevated fertility. But even so, independent of that, it seems that baby fever would ensure that over time, if nothing changes, these people would start to dominate the gene pool. You would get a population that was very, very strongly pronatalist and very, very strongly desirous of having lots of children. Now, you can see how in the future this could set off lots and lots of conflicts, because you would have a proportion of the population that weren't interested in having children, and they would end up through taxes or whatever having to fund or deal with the consequences of those that were highly pronatalist. You could see how it would set off a conflict due to overpopulation. The population would start to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as this desire to have lots of babies would be selected for. You can see how it could get to a point where the population is so substantial that it would set off war and conflict and violence, because there would simply be far too many people for the resources at hand. You could see how that could actually result, ironically, in the collapse of civilization. Back to a smaller and more manageable level, as there weren't sufficient resources for it. So I think this is an absolutely fascinating finding. What it implies is that the future is that we are going through a period, as it were, of antinatalism because of the rise of contraception, because of various other things that we've looked at on this channel, which result in dysphoria caused by an evolutionary mismatch or whatever. And all of these people that can be induced, for whatever reason, not to have their own children, they'll grow, they'll mushroom in size over a period of time because of there's so many of them and whatever. And eventually they create circumstances such as, you know, spiteful beauty or whatever, runaway individualism, whatever. They create this situation where many, many people are persuaded to abandon fertility. And the only people that don't abandon fertility are going to be, and therefore who will be selected for, will be those who are low in intelligence and can't use contraception and can't be inculcated with the dominant ideology, because as we've discussed in cultural mediation hypothesis, there is a correlation between intelligence and adopting the dominant ideology, which is antinatalist and individualist. So they are the future, and the other future will be those who are K-strategists, who are nurturers, who are high in baby fever, who are high in a desire for children. Now, the result of that will be presumably a substantial population explosion, which will have its own consequences. But what this is underpinned by is what seems to be evidence in this paper of, and I say seems, of an instinctive, selected desire to have your own biological children, which some people have strongly and other people don't. And those that don't have it can presumably be inculcated to not have children in a society that says, you know, look after the environment or, you know, limit your fertility or whatever. But some people simply can't be inculcated with that. And those people will have life. Those people will be the future. And it is another example, this paper, a Finnish person invented the text message. He didn't realise the importance of this. I'm not aware that he gets a cut of every text message that's sent. And a Finnish person coming up with something quite extraordinary. So I hope this has been of interest. And if it has, then please subscribe. It really helps me if you do that. Remember, I live stream Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. And I will see you soon. And goodbye!